The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Your hard-earned money shrinking fast and you need some help, I'm going to encourage you to call our friends at Lear Capital. You're going to learn more about investing in gold and silver, and this is the time to do it. When things are very unclear and unsure in the environment and what's happening in the world, it's a good time to look at the stability of gold. Call 800-430-2919.
This is the Seculo Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Welcome to the Seculo Brothers Podcast. This is Logan Seculo. Jordan is on assignment. He's out. I'll probably tell you why a little bit later, but for now, he's out. We're a week away from Thanksgiving, holiday season starting, and guess what? News that came out today, obviously probably a lot of you saw, and we called it last week, as it seemed like the Republicans were going to take the House, as they officially did last night. Republicans took the House, and guess what? The official announcement came. Nancy Pelosi is stepping down as the top Democrat after nearly, I guess over maybe, two decades in leadership. Now, not necessarily big breaking news because we thought this was coming, but she made a statement. Also, we're losing Steny Hoyer, which I know nothing about other than it's a fun name to say. It rolls off the tongue. I kind of feel like Steny Hoyer is the name of a conservative. I feel like it should be. It sounds like, you know, Congressman Steny Hoyer, like someone he would sound like Foghorn Leghorn. But they're both stepping down or really not seeking leadership. Now, Congresswoman, former speaker, going to be former speaker, whatever you want to say it, Pelosi will be stepping down, but she still will be retaining her role as just a representative of the San Francisco area of California. So she's not going away totally, but that, you would assume then when is her term up? Do we know?
At the end of this year.
End of this year?
Yeah, congressmen and congresswomen only serve 2-year terms.
But she got reelected.
She did get
reelected.
That's what I'm
saying. So you assume she'd go probably sometime, probably the next time around, maybe we'll be stepping down. But regardless,
maybe she won't seek reelection again.
Yeah. Regardless, the conservatives took the House and immediately started putting in new committees and going after the Biden administration. We're going to talk about that more later tomorrow on the Seculo, just the regular broadcast. We're going to talk more about that. Because of that sort of political gamesmanship we have to kind of deal with now, which is when do we ever go back to sort of business as usual? Now it seems like it will always be a committee that now, look, they did the whole January 6th committee. So now you're going to return. You're going to have a Hunter Biden, Joe Biden crime corruption committee. Not saying that it's not deserved, but you do kind of wonder when the political gamesmanship will end. Hopefully they'll start representing our country again. We will just have to see about that. Now, I did also, I mean, do you have any bites or sound or anything from Pelosi? I don't think so. You said it was a pretty good speech, though, that she actually was talked about some of her bipartisan work, obviously
yeah,
not the last decade.
Basically, here the entirety of her career, she was the first female Speaker of the House, things of that nature. But she talked about even working with President George Bush on energy, things of that nature. So okay. It's a long career, and it was a fitting end to it.
Sure. I guess that's a good way to put it. Well, I'm sure our crowd on Rumble will agree with your statements. Another thing I wanted to touch on, there's a few things that came out today. I was watching last night Disney Plus, which I know is already going to get some hate just for me saying that, but I was watching Disney Plus, and they released a new series that's based on the Santa Claus, the Tim Allen series from the 90s. You know, a lot of us grew up on the Santa Claus movies. So they've released a new series called The Santa Clauses. Now, this got some controversy because Disney Plus is working with a known conservative, pretty vocal, loud guy who just a few months ago You remember there was a whole controversy over him being replaced as Buzz Lightyear, but they said, no, we're bringing it back as the Santa Claus, a big franchise. And I got to give it up to Disney Plus, because within the first, and this, I guess, is a small spoiler. So if you are looking for zero spoilers, but this is making sort of the more liberal side of the internet right now not so happy. And that is their, you know, the plot line, which I think you've seen the trailer. I think it's okay if we talk about it, of the Santa Clauses. Is that Tim Allen Santa is starting to kind of convert back to normal human. And we're trying to figure out why. And he's trying to figure out why. And one of the reasons is because less people are celebrating Christmas. And that less kids are believing in the magic of Christmas. So there's even a line that's thrown in there where he's like, I can't believe, you know, kids are not believing as much. And then there's a line that comes out where he goes, apparently, Merry Christmas to all is problematic now. And that line is lighting up the internet, because all of a sudden you have a statement coming from Disney. Again, I got to give it up to them that they even allowed this to be in it. It's their, probably their decision to allow this writing team. Now, a lot of it is the writing team, I believe, in the almost the entire crew, though it's shot more like a film from Last Man Standing, which, as you know, was a pretty loud conservative voice in Hollywood, so much so it got canceled. Another network picked it up because the ratings were so huge, people weren't sure what to do with it because it was coming from Tim Allen. So I just have to say, they're getting some blowback for it. There's people going, this doesn't, I saw one person, Will, who said, this doesn't feel like the Scott Calvin character. This feels like Tim Allen. It feels like you put a line in from Tim Allen, okay. Not from the Santa Claus. This doesn't feel like it would fit in the Santa Claus lore and the Santa Claus canon.
Well, first of all, the Santa Claus canon is different than the real Santa Claus canon.
Yeah.
So you're having to start from a made-up place to Tim Allen.
They're talking about Tim Allen, yeah. We're talking about Tim Allen Santa Claus from the 90s.
That's very confusing.
By the way, that Santa Claus started with him knocking at Santa Claus and killing him off the roof and then replacing
him. Exactly, that's what I mean. Like, this is already a weird spin.
Which they do reference that, by the way. I'm like, they didn't, like, erase that part. There's a thing which is like, you know, what about when you knock that guy off the roof, knock Santa off the roof? In original version of Santa, he accidentally shoots him. You know, they edited, changed it.
No, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, in the original one, he like was like, there's a robber. And like, you know, so they didn't, that didn't happen. But Disney Plus put this, let this slide put in there. And I you got to give people props. That's not a like subtle joke. That is saying Merry Christmas to all is now problematic is a pretty direct hit on sort of the woke culture narrative.
Well, I think that they're actually just upset because the whole thing is an allegory about Nancy Pelosi reverting back to just a regular member of Congress.
That's true.
Speaker.
Came at the right time. Now we're going to have a new speaker who, as you said, not necessarily going to be much better.
Well, it won't be speaker, it'll be the leader of the Democrat Party.
You said not going to be a much better voice.
Well, yeah, a lot of people heard about Hakeem Jeffries, who is actually like fourth or fifth in command of the Democrat leadership. He's like the equivalent of Elise Stefanik for the Democrats. But he kind of rose in popularity as one of the impeachment managers during the first Trump impeachment.
Great.
And so there's going to be a battle between Adam Schiff and Hakeem Jeffries on who may be the next Democrat leader.
But that also happened over in the Senate, right? Do we have a majority or a majority in the House? I mean, sorry.
As far as the who will be the next speaker on the GOP, it looks like Kevin McCarthy is going to
hold on. They said that's pretty much locked in, that Kevin McCarthy will be the GOP head. And then there's a battle for the minority and the Republicans, and that's a whole thing going on
right
now.
Didn't even make a splash. Rick Scott only got about 10 people to vote for him.
10. Everyone went McConnell.
With him, it may have been a total of 12 or 13 that voted, and then the rest are Republicans, all McConnell.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Look, I know there's a lot of people have a lot of feelings towards Mitch McConnell. I don't know the man, never spent any time with him, so I have no personal feelings one way or the other. But sometimes, look, like Pelosi, say what you want about her, effective, and was there for a long time, knew her way in and out of politics so well, was able to do this for 20 years, and be a continual name and star, able to hold power for a long time. That's very similar to Mitch McConnell, the fact of when you're able to hold this kind of power and really know, again, you got to know the system really well. You can't have someone bright and young and jumping in. Someone who's been there for a while, it's probably a good thing. And we'll see how that all shakes out over the next few years. But we also know this is the minority. And we have over on the other side now, we actually have some representation now. You know, there it isn't this full wave. The House, though, did not go at an extreme red wave, a red tsunami, a red ripple, for that matter. It did, in fact, adjust the balance of power. And now you're going to see a lot of changes happen in a few years. Now, sure, you still have a presidency. And sure, you still have the Senate controlled by Democrats. But it's not just one way or the other, Will, anymore. It's now actually somewhat representative, maybe, of this very divided country.
That's right. And what you're going to see probably is more divisiveness from both sides as we go forward. Some is to kind of reset the balance of power in the House. But then also, what are they going to try to do in the Senate with a lot of the confirmations, things of that nature they'll try to ram through?
Yeah, it'll be pretty interesting to see kind of what happens over the next few months. It's an exciting time. Look, I've kind of moved on from whatever that was at the election. And obviously you had, since we've done a show, you had President Trump make his formal announcement. Now, we all thought it was coming on Tuesday. It did officially come out. He made a very stoic, international-based, which I thought was interesting, international-based speech where he discussed a lot of things that are not handled by probably a lot of the people who he'll be running against. So people who haven't necessarily dealt on the complete international front, have dealt with the G8 and the G12 and the summits and all of the different countries. And he talked about North Korea. He talked about a lot of the things that I wish he had talked about when he was actually debating Joe Biden. Because what I said the whole time, I thought that Biden didn't talk about very specific things, or not Biden, Trump didn't talk about very specific things when debating Joe Biden. He didn't talk about the Middle East. He didn't talk about North Korea. He didn't talk about the fact that threats were virtually eliminated and almost no Islamic terrorism was happening in our country. But what he did was kind of fall into a bit of a trap, I feel like, in not talking about his successes. Now, he is good at that because he was good at sort of the whole, we're gonna bring things back to normal. After the Obama administration, we're going to clean it up. We're going to do all of these things. Now he's kind of be able to revert back to that, but he is relying a little bit more on his history as president. And Will, you have a clip you want to play?
Yeah, this was kind of at the beginning of his speech and announcement and kind of talking about the tone I think he was trying to set.
Yep.
Let's take a listen to it.
This will not be my campaign. This will be our campaign altogether. Because the only force strong enough to defeat the massive corruption we are up against is you, the American people. That's true. The American people, the greatest people on earth. We love them all. And we love both sides. We're going to bring people together. We're going to unify people. And it was happy.
And it was happy. They're going to bring people together. Yes, President Trump, I'm sure you're announcing this, is going to bring everyone together. It's a nice thought, unifying the country. But we all know right now we live in a very divided time. And look, I think this is last week I've been kind of internally debating this. We're going to have to start looking at not just it cannot be a move to the middle. I think that doesn't happen. I don't think our country does that. And I do like that he refers to the American people as like we love them all. I'm like, are you not? But you got to take credit yourself here, man. Like, it's a little bit alien-like, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine. You can debate all day long whether he should announce, by the way. I think that that is something that most of us go, man, this is way too early. And I said that, and I've been honest about that. But you can't help but look at the numbers. Now, when Jordan and I were on the show earlier, on Tuesday, we said we didn't think Fox and CNN and MSNBC or any of these networks were going to run it. They were not, at the time of when we recorded this, they weren't. You were going to have to find it on Newsmax or RSBN. I think MSNBC still chose not to, shocker. But CNN and Fox both ran it almost in its entirety. I'd say Fox ran about 85% of it. I'd say CNN ran about 50% of it. But they kind of got the big parts out of the way. It kind of got to where it just kind of became a speech. The first 25 minutes or whatever it was to where he got to the announcement, they played live. And almost 9 million people watched on just the TV networks. Now, if you look at some of the reporting over on YouTube, or not YouTube, but on Rumble, an RSBN, they reported just through the RSBN service. Now, this is their reporting. I don't have the data. That nearly 4 million people tuned into their live stream. I know just on Rumble alone, there were numbers of 400,000 to 500,000 at one time. You know, people go on and off, so it probably is cumulative. That is a powerful number of people that were interested. You can say the base is down, that people aren't going to be supportive. I think that some of that I get. But I also think that there are millions and millions of people that are very interested in what he had to say to hopefully kind of correct the ship. I do think it's a little early personally, just looking at the fact that for 2 years now, we're going to have someone out there running for president saying, you know, look how bad of a job President Biden is doing. Look, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I almost feel like you need in a political campaign to have a bit of a savior complex. And I feel like 2 years of watching it crumble more will be difficult to be that savior. However, he's got very smart people around him, and I think it's going to be an interesting time. I also think you're going to see people jump into this race earlier than they were going to before. I think usually you would have, late 2023 really is when people started going, about a year from now, because the debates happen in the spring.
Right, you start seeing exploratory committees in the summer of 23, and then actual announcements towards the end of the year.
Yeah, end of the year, and then it hypes up. But I think what you're going to now start having is announcements that are going to come by the spring, full-fledged announcements. Then, after that, the field is going to get tight. And who knows what a debate system looks like when you have a President Trump on that debate stage, assuming he'll do the debates. You know, he didn't even do all the last time. There were some of the debates he didn't even show up for. In 2016, I'm talking about even, in the original set. He didn't do all of those debates. So you may not even see it. You may go, hey, I'm not even a part of this group. Well, I have no knowledge of that, but it will be interesting to see with his numbers potentially, if those polls, which I know we said polls are highly unreliable, if they are accurate, he's going to have some base to catch up on. But we'll see. We'll see. And look, I brought this up, and I got distracted with the Trump speech, but I do believe this, and it's something I'm working on kind of in my own head over the last couple of weeks. Really, last week is I don't see a path to the middle as much as I maybe hoped there would be, that there would be ways to work in a bipartisan way. I hate that. But the sides are so divided that I think we have to look now for pockets of places that maybe we can agree upon. Maybe not look to move people to the middle or move people away from their political party. If that happens, that will happen almost naturally, hopefully by their own logic and thought. It didn't necessarily happen during this past election. If it was going to happen, folks, I'll be honest, if it was going to happen, it was probably going to happen then. So now we have to see, are there a few nuggets? And I don't have the answer for this. Are there a few nuggets that we can actually look to and say, look, we all disagree on this and this and this, but this one piece of it, we can all agree on. I don't know. I hope so. I thought that maybe something like the fentanyl crisis, maybe that would be one of those things. But like we said, it seems like it's been politicized beyond belief. And I hate that. And look, I think that there are some conversations happening about what we're going to do with the border and the fentanyl crisis, and then what we're going to do with the people who have crossed the border illegally. I am not under the personal belief, and Jordan probably would be here, would be saying the opposite, but he's not here, so this is my show right now. I'm also not under the personal belief of going in and saying we're going to try to figure out how to deport 11 million plus people. Do I agree with the way that they got here? No. Do I think we need to do thorough background checks to make sure these aren't criminals coming in? Absolutely. But then there are a lot of people in your own community who wouldn't you rather be a part of your community officially and then could start being a part of America, paying their taxes, doing the things that need to be done. Maybe there is some sort of pathway there. Just opening up the discussion. Maybe that's something we can talk about from a humanitarian point of view and from an economic point of view. Humanitarian, you got 11 million people plus people here who are currently here under the radar, not on the system. Then you have a system where we're saying you want to do something about it, but you don't actually want to figure out a way to embrace people and make them part of your financial government. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But people won't even admit that there is a crisis. And they were under a huge crisis. Will, you have a clip you want to play. This is from Sanford Bishop, Representative of Georgia, from just a couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, he was the hearing, a Homeland Security hearing. Yeah. So Secretary Mayorkas testified, Christopher Wray from the FBI, and someone from the terrorism working group also was there to testify. But this goes to show the administration doesn't seem even serious about the problem to get to the type of solution you're talking about.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Do you continue to maintain that the border is secure?
Yes, and we are working day in and day out to enhance its security, Congressman. Right.
Then what we need is some sort of proof of that. What we need is the numbers to back up that statement. If the statement is the border is secure, then how come that what we're getting, the data we're getting, is saying otherwise? Put people on the record. Back up your statements. It can't. Look, it's a very gray area. That word, I'm going to say this, politicized. You can't say secure the border because people don't know what that means anymore. Bring the data. If you bring the data, we can have this discussion. Then we could start to talking about what we're going to do with people. How are you going to deal with human beings, which I believe that we should always treat, as long as these are people that are not here for very nefarious reasons. And I mean nefarious reasons, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, those kind of things. Not people who are actually were seeking a better life and decided to take a shortcut. I don't agree with that, but I also don't think it's the same. So before we get there, though, we have to actually secure the border and figure out what that means. Figure out a definition of that word. It's troubling to me that there are so little things that we can actually grasp upon that are those non-politicized talking points. I get the others. I get your social ones. I get even some of the economic ones, because it's easy to have a heart that feels more liberal and a head that feels more conservative, because the economic side, or maybe the social side, I'm not even saying the social side, I'm talking about just the humanitarian side, that the left, a lot of times, by the way, portrays that doesn't actually live up to. In the right, acts like they don't do it, and really they're a lot of the ones in the churches and the communities actually helping the homeless, doing the things that the liberal communities pretend they're doing. Instead, they're just ramping up the problems that are happening. Look, California, LA, you look at that, Karen Bass won, pretty definitively against Rick Caruso, who was coming out to be mayor of LA. And LA, unless you are completely blind, you know that it's not the city it once was. You know that it is in a horrible shape. But they decided, because of the fact they can't see beyond their own political ideology and their own talking points, their own bullet point media, they can't see the fact that you had someone who at least wanted to try to shake things up and to try to do something better for the city. Instead, they elected the same because of why? Extreme progressive ideas that turn into bad policy. And there's a lot happening right now in the world, and it's not just politics. It is also what we saw. Look, we were on the show talking a couple days ago about the Russia-Ukraine missiles that were coming in. And look, within 12 hours, that news changed completely. That changed from when we were on the air. It was almost definitively a Russia attack on Poland. Even if it was accidental. The next morning, the U.S. was saying the otherwise. So we always have to stay close to what's happening, because it's easy. When we do these shows this many times a week, it's easy to come out with what's happening right now, and then some of that changes. Sometimes you have to report on breaking news or talk about it. You're not the reporter, but we are discussing it, having commentary on it, while there is still a war going on. And then when there's times of war, and look, when there's stuff like that, which feels like NATO is about to get involved, you're looking to look for times to diversify and ways to protect your financial stake, especially when we don't know what's around the corner. And you guys should check out looking at investing in gold and silver through our friends at Lear Capital. You can give them a call at 800-430-2919. When you do that, you're going to have a conversation with someone. They're going to kind of walk you through what it means to invest in gold and silver. If you don't know, go listen back to our interview we did very early in the podcast with the COO. Go listen to that. We're actually going to have him on again in a couple weeks to talk more about it. And when there are times like this, and the cost of everything is insane, and it's very uncertain, it's good to call 430-2919. They'll also send you a free kit, an investor kit. They're going to show you how gold has performed during times of inflation, government debt, interest rates we know are hiked up. I mean, look, in our neighborhood, in our areas, 6 months ago, you could not find a house. There were bidding wars happening. Now there are houses for sale and sitting on the market for months and months and months because of what's going on with interest rates. But what I really like about Lear Capital is also that they support this show and they support other people with similar values. So you know who you're working with here. There is a domain. You can go to their website. Lear, it's in the description. But I encourage you to give them a call. Investment levels really vary. When we first started this, we said, we don't know if our listenership is, they're going to be a little bit younger. We don't know if they're ready to invest in gold and silver, if they even have the money to do it. And some people do, some people don't. But you're not talking about, like, when I thought about it, like, oh, it's got to start at 25, 30,000. No, I think you can get in around 2,500 bucks, maybe even lower. call them, find out, just learn more about them. But make sure you use our phone number, that 800-430-2919. Because when you do that, that's how they track that people that are listening to this show are active and are listening and wanting to support our work. So again, give them a call, 800-430-2919. If you want to use the website, the domain is in the description in the show notes. And it's a very specific domain. You'll see it when you see it. It's kind of fun. You'll see it in the show notes. If you click on that, again, it tracks back to us. We appreciate their support. Another thing that's happening, and we can talk about sort of the ethicalness of this. I know this is a bit more of a fun topic. They announced in the metaverse, which I don't know if a lot of you are on, probably not, because I think it's an experiment that has so far been mixed results. I have an Oculus, and I've gone into the metaverse. If you don't know what that is, like a virtual reality world that Facebook runs, or Facebook Meta, Meta is the company. First time I went into the metaverse, I was immediately like attacked by children. You went in and there were just kids punching you and calling you names and profanities that you are shocked that are coming out of the mouths of small children. And then you hear parents in the background being like, "Baby, get off the VR." Like, you hear that a lot when you're in the metaverse. It's like, "You're going to run into the dog." That's the kind of stuff that you hear when you're dealing with the metaverse. They announced and they showed a video of, there are live events that have happened in VR. There are things that are different. And this one was intriguing. And they're doing a VR concert with Notorious B.I.G., who you may know has passed away decades ago at this point, but a legend in hip-hop. And it's a full virtual reality created CGI Biggie. And we're all going to be able to log on to the concert together to experience this reunion, if you will, revival, resurrection concert. And the background is the streets of New York and Brooklyn in the 90s. And there will be guests like Puff Daddy and those people that will come on and join it. And it looks like it's the first thing they've put out in VR. And I can't say I'm like a giant fan. I don't know the back catalog. I know the hits. And I was a kid when he passed away, but I definitely made an impact. However, this is very unique. This is very different. They had the Tupac hologram a decade ago at Coachella. We've seen those kind of things happen where you add a live event and then they've done this kind of projection, or that weird ABBA concert that's currently happening in the UK, where they're filling up arenas with just virtual reality versions of themselves. I think in Vegas, they have Whitney Houston, and then Dio travels. You can go see virtual Dio with the actual band, but he is a CGI character. But this will be a 360 experience in the metaverse, and an experience you can't have in reality anymore. That's kind of cool, but it does bring up I'm sure his family and estate is getting a lot of money for this. I would hope, but it does bring up sort of an ethical question of like, when are these things okay and not okay? I'm more okay with this one. Will, maybe you have any thoughts on this, because it is completely virtual reality. You're not going into an experience, you're not going to a arena to see a projected hologram.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a ethical problem with it, especially because it is, in a sense, an animation.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're creating something wholly new. It's listening to music that's already been made and recorded.
We assume there are the thoughts of Hollywood actors who have signed their life rights away. Like James Earl Jones did this with Darth Vader. He actually sold his voice to Lucasfilm, and now they can create Darth Vader forever because of AI technology. If you watched the last season of Obi-Wan Kenobi, very little of that, if any, was any new recording of James Earl Jones, who is currently in his, I believe, in his 90s. And instead, all of a sudden, and he's been doing it pretty recently, but you've heard Darth Vader kind of age. Now, Darth Vader sounds like he did back in The Empire Strikes Back because of AI technology. And there is a bit of controversy in that, where, yes, he did agree to it. He's living, so I think that's different because he agreed to it. But now they can literally make words come out of his mouth forever.
But the difference of that is that it's still the character. You're not thinking James Earl Jones is saying this. You're thinking Darth Vader is saying this.
I don't have a problem with it. But there are the questions of they have talked about if they bought, let's say Elvis, Elvis the brand is licensed. It's a licensed thing. So people could license Elvis, which you could say they just did this with the movie, but license Elvis, recreate Elvis, or Humphrey Bogart, or whoever these classic actors are, recreate them, put words in their mouths that they never said, and all of a sudden you have a brand new film. And it's happening right now. They're making these movies right now. I could see sort of the ethical question. I don't really have a problem with it. I think it's kind of cool. As long as it's in the right hands, and as long as the family maybe has some say, or whoever the rights controllers
or they would at least be able to speak into it. And if, look, I'm sure most of these families are just thrilled to have their family legacy continue, and I'm sure make some money off of it. Because I'm sure album sales for the Notorious B.I.G. in the world of streaming, sure, I'm sure do very well, but not what they were when he died in the 90s. It's just, it's not the way the world works anymore. So revenue streams change. You got to find new ways to do that. So I totally get that part of it, but just wanted to throw that out there, see what people thought. Put in your comments. I'd love to hear if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube. I would love to hear your comments. Put them in there. I'll go back tonight and read through them and see what you have to say. I am going to encourage you guys before we wrap up for the day to go on. If you're on Rumble, if you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, like this video, thumbs up, put the plus sign, do all those things in comments. A lot more people will see it if you do that. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you do that already, thank you and write a review. 5 stars would be appreciated. You can find all those links on SeculoBrothers.com. We'll be back next week. You're heading into Thanksgiving. You have a lot to be thankful for. Hopefully this Thanksgiving, go spend some time with your family. I know I will be doing that, but we'll also be here with a new show on Monday. So can we hit that music? There you go. Check out SecularBrothers.com. Check out all of our old episodes. Until next time, and as always, we'll see you on Monday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.